Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. What's the best gift you've ever given? Today, Ted and I talk about the spiritual gift of giving. We're all called to be generous, but there's a special gift of the Holy Spirit related to the act of sincere and selfless giving. Ted and I reflect on the parable of the Good Samaritan and the many ways we can practice giving today. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 37 of the Zach Pod.
Got a lot of birthdays this month, Ted.
We
Sue's
do.
Sue's birthday. Jerry's birthday.
Ashley's birthday.
Journey's birthday.
And Journey's birthday. And we're kind of like all in this.
You got gifts lined
up.
What's like the best gift you gave or not that you received, but like that you ever gave them or?
That would be hard. They would say something, and I would say something totally different.
Oh, yeah.
I think
different pages.
I think for me right now, the age I am, yes, I would say probably not to forget their birthday would be huge.
That's the best.
That's the best. And then usually we go out to eat as a family and celebrate their birthday. Mm. Yeah, usually, you know, if your spouse says, "Oh, I don't need anything for birthday. You know, don't get me anything." Don't believe it. Okay, don't believe it.
On my wedding video, the guy who was running the camera went around to get like, you know, well wishes from everybody. And when it came to my father-in-law, he decided to use that moment to give me some advice. And he said, "Christian, when we studied poetry and literature in school, they should have called that Communication with Women 101. All these plots and subplots. Always remember the birthdays. Always remember the anniversary.
That's right.
Don't listen to what they say. Listen to what's underneath what they say." It's so funny.
That
laugh
is
every
so
time
true. That, and you know what? I think that is so true. That is so true. Yeah. So it was a birthday. I think it was like a Valentine's Day, but my wife said to me, "Oh, you don't have to give me anything." So I didn't. Oh, I was in the doghouse.
Big mistake.
I told myself I'd never do that again.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that I remember. So make sure you remember and make it count, you know, not that you can get out of the doghouse, but that you value.
Gifts are challenging, honestly.
It is.
Some people
are
really good at giving gifts. They're good at, like, knowing a person well enough to know what they would really like.
Yeah.
But I have found that, like, I thought that I was good at that until I got married. And I remember, like, my early marriage. Yeah. I've been married 20-something years now.
Yeah.
And I remember early, like, the first years of marriage, I was like, I took a lot of risks. I took a lot of big swings, you know? I would buy jewelry.
Sure.
Or I would buy clothes.
Yeah.
These are always a mistake with my wife. Because if she doesn't like it, if it's not
you're
right,
in trouble.
She's not going to wear it. Not that I'd be in trouble, but she won't like it. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And she's not good at lying, which is, you know, mostly good. But I would like her to just say thank you. But what she says is thank you with an expression that's like, this is a bad gift, you know? And so she's very particular, it turns out, about... which I learned after we were married about things like jewelry and clothes. So I remember one year I had her, this was when we were living in China. I had her pick like send me like 30 different potential items of clothing that I could buy her. Like choose from this list.
Choose
you know
from
what I mean?
A list.
And
then I
got from that list
That's great.
She was very excited because she didn't know what she was going to get.
Yeah.
Because she still wants to be surprised and excited. She's just very particular about what she likes. So that's, some people are tricky like that. Some people like would just love any kind of gift. And other people are like, no, I want something very specific. So the older that we've gotten, the more she's just like, I'll just buy my own gift. You know what I mean? And she doesn't see. But you still want to make the occasion special.
Yeah.
I think gifts aren't that important to her. She just would rather, she's
I think as far as Sue just gives up on me and I just go get a gift or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For her, the big mistake I thought I was doing, it was Christmas I was doing. A great thing for her. And we were early, I think, in our marriage. And I thought, man, well, she kept saying, I need a new purse. I need a new purse. I need a new purse. So I went out. If you're newly married and you're walking through women's handbags,
overwhelming.
Overwhelming, and you feel weird.
Yeah.
And this was before.
I have never been in this section of the store in my life.
Yeah, this, and online was not happening back then. That's how old I am, yes. And anyway, moving on, I thought I found the best purse ever and purchased it and went extra detail to wrap it and so forth. And I was just, you know, and I, at Christmas time, I usually let the big gift be the last gift for her to open up. So she opens up this gift and she sees the purse and she looks at it and she looks at me and I'm thinking, Oh, I knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I struck out. She goes, it's just like your mother's. Oh, now, she loves my mom. My mom's with Jesus now, but she loved my mom. But you don't do that.
Not for a
gift. Not for a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, why'd you buy me this? And so from then on, I made a commitment to myself. I would never buy her. I would never go out and purchase a purse or an outfit or anything. I would take her and let her buy it or let her pick it out or let her choose it because I just failed miserably.
Yeah.
Miserably.
I got, this year for Ash's birthday, I got her a fan from Home Depot. it's like a little portable fan,
yeah.
But it's pretty big, you know? So like it's
for
big enough.
School.
Yeah. Cause the AC is always breaking in school and it's got these batteries, but it's like a super powered fan. She was using, my in-law's place. She was like, oh, this is great. She was walking around with it all throughout the house.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, she'll like this, but she has also bought herself like so many things already. It's kind of like, all right, I just need to, it's always a challenge.
It's a challenge.
I don't know if either one of us are very good at giving.
We're not.
But that's the subject today of our talk is the gift of giving.
Gift of giving, yeah. Well, I appreciate those who have that gift and who are generous. I think I am generous because it ties in with mercy. You know, it's what we give and how we give and maybe even why we give, you know.
Yeah, strange to me that it feels like an interesting inclusion in the list of gifts, but it's for sure there, you know, in the Romans 12 list when it's listing things like prophecy, like we talked about last time, it's teaching, exhortation, and then in Romans 12:8 it says, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Yes.
And so to give, what does it mean? What is the spiritual gift of giving? What does that mean?
Yeah, I would say a spiritual gift of giving is being generous in the sense that, and you, it's mixed with hospitality.
Okay.
Definitely. I've found that when I've come across individuals who have that gift of giving, they may have the means to give, they may have the ability to give, they may be wealthy in the world's eyes, but they don't think of themselves that way. They have a sense of humility and a sense of hospitality and a sense of really compassion and care for others. So if the Lord prompts them in their heart to give, they give liberally, freely, generously, and with a cheerful heart. And they don't expect anything in return. They're not giving in a sense to say, hey, I'm better than you. I'm in this club. You know, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, what'd they do? Man, they said, oh, we're going to give our property just like these other people, so everybody can say, oh, how wonderful you are. But they lied to the Holy Spirit, and God took them out. So those who have the gift, the genuine gift of giving, and I think it's more than just your material resources like money. I think that's a big part, but it's also your time. People are generous with their time. You know, they're allowing their schedule to be interrupted. They're allowing their world to be just reorganized because they're giving of their time. And then there's the talent. God gives everybody talent, and people are generous with the talent. You look at the church today, there is that gift of giving. People serve in a volunteer capacity within the church, those in music and worship, as well as those teaching, those caring for the young, and those in the nursery, and so forth. They're giving of their time, and they're giving of their talent to edify those little ones. So that's a part of that gift of giving, I think, giving liberally. And I think it goes back to Acts, where the church said that everybody was in community and all their needs were met. All their needs were met. That's a beautiful expression.
Absolutely. I think everyone is called to be generous, for sure.
Yes.
And I think if we looked at the fruits of the Spirit, generosity isn't one of them, but I think it could be.
There you go.
I think everyone is called to be generous. But I wonder what makes it a gift of the Holy Spirit. I think there's a supernatural, if it's from the Holy Spirit, it's supernatural. So there's some sort of supernatural desire that rises up in a person that sees a need and they're like, I want to meet that need. we generally associate the gift of giving with people of means. You even said that. It's like, well, people who are richer have the gift of giving. But actually, it's not connected to that. It's just that's the ones that we notice.
Yeah, that's the one we notice.
The spiritual gift of giving is a supernatural desire and maybe capacity, but certainly desire to meet a need. Where you see a need in the community and you're like, I want to meet that need. And it's the Holy Spirit moving in you to want to do that.
And that could be even your life vocation, a call. Think about that. Okay, Lord, you placed on my heart this idea to go, and I want to meet that need. You know, you've experienced that when the Lord spoke to you about going to China. Why not? Mm-hmm. You know, and you said, hey, okay, I'm willing to give myself, to give our family, to go, to be the Captain Kirk, to go where no man has gone before, even though others have gone before. Sure. But that experience, and that's part of that giving. You're giving yourself to the Lord, so on. But there is that supernatural aspect, like that you brought that up, that the Holy Spirit prompts, but the Holy Spirit—
And enables, right?
And enables.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with our means and our possessions because, you know, on some level, that's what we have that's supposed to, like, sustain us. I get a salary. There's a bank account. There's a whatever. Do you know what I mean? There's a house. Yeah. There's possessions. And we can say they're meaningless all day long, but if my car's broken down, my whole life doesn't work, you know? And so so there's the things that we have and the possessions that we have.
Right.
And it's very easy it's very normal for men and women and everyone to rely on that for our lives. Now, for our livelihood and maybe for status, but I'm not even talking about status. I'm just talking about, like, sustaining ourselves, you know, with our means.
Yeah.
And to give is to trust God so radically that I'm like, I'm going to give of what I have to someone else, you know, not to my flesh and blood, but to somebody in this community.
Sure.
And want to do that both, like, liberally, like we said, and cheerfully, right? I'm not doing it to lord it over them. I'm not doing it because God says I have to. It's like, man, I want to part with this possession, not because it's excess and I have plenty, but because, like, I'm declaring that this doesn't mean as much to me as maybe it seems like society is saying it should. And maybe, like, over all of human history, it should. Yeah. It's a very radical thing, actually, to give sacrificially or to give. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a declaration that I'm not bound by the things that
I own. You're not possessed by your possession.
Right.
And you are free in the Holy Spirit and the Lord to let go and let God in that sense, but also you sense as you give liberally to the Lord that the Holy Spirit's directing you and prompting you, and then he enables you, and it may be a great sacrifice of value for you that the world says, oh, I can't believe you do this, but you did it, and for God to receive the glory, you didn't want any credit.
Right, and to build up the church is like all the gifts we've been talking about. For God to be glorified, the church to be built up. Yep. And of course, when you give, you're receiving back from the Lord, both in terms of community within the church and in terms of connection to the Holy Spirit. So there's all that. There's that sort of Holy Spirit math as well. But it can still be, it feels like a risk, you know, to part with the things that are sustaining you. And I think the Holy Spirit enables that. The Greek root, I was looking it up, the word forgive there has with it the idea of it being sincere.
Yeah.
So to give sincerely and liberally, meaning like more than enough, like giving generously, you could say, because we don't like the word liberal. Some people, generously,
generously
the same thing.
Liberally.
And sincerely, it has to be, you mean it, you know, you want to, you're genuine.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And that, you know, to want to part with something that you have earned or that, you know, someone's given you, that's supernatural, I think, you know? Most of us don't want to part with things. There's radical views of, like, is it St. Augustine? One of the monks, the early monks, who was like, the more things we have, the more clubs we need to protect them. Mm. So like, there's a sense of, like, you can have too much and then you need to hire armed security so no one will steal from you. There's a great freedom in not being very wealthy because you're like, well, nobody, who's going to rob me?
That's right.
You know, there's actually freedom in it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there was a study a while back. I don't know if this has anything to do with giving, but a bunch of millionaires, they were trying to figure out what car they drove. Mm. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, you got the latest and greatest Mercedes or
the Maserati.
Yeah, Maserati, whatever. But it wasn't that. It was more like, at the time, it was like the Ford Pinto or, some
run-down
car, you know, that they would run, and you would never know they were a millionaire. You know, but that kind of thing. Humility has a lot to do with that generous gift. Yeah. And I think people who have that generosity, God blesses them after they've done that sacrifice. Not so they can say, well, look at, you know, I think God's just honoring himself in their lives by showing, hey, you listened to me, you obeyed me, you're going to be blessed.
Yeah.
And we don't give out of that. We don't give out of that. People say, well, you can never outgive God, which is true, but I don't give to try to prove that I can give more than God. I think that would be futile.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But we're going to give liberally, we're going to give freely as unto the Lord. And
I think it demonstrates and creates a closeness to God, just like the other gifts do. So when somebody prophesies, it's like, oh man, they're hearing from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Or when you know, somebody gives a word or somebody does a miracle healing, it's like, wow, the Holy Spirit is all over that person, moving through them. But that can be true of this too.
Yes.
Right? If a need arises and you just very easily part with the thing, it's like an indication of the nearness of God. You know, it's like, wow, God was moving in that person. Like they didn't even bat an eye. That person had a need and they just gave. And, you know, and it was like, that's an indication of the closeness of God. And also it creates a reliance, a dependence, very, very practically speaking, because you're letting go of the things that you would normally have to sustain yourself.
Yeah.
So it's actually profoundly spiritual. I think as we talk about it, you can see that even more, the supernatural nature of giving.
Yeah, do not love the world nor the things in the world. You know, John says that in 1 John chapter 2. So, you know, am I holding on to it, you know, with a closed fist, or do I open my hand and let the Lord take it and use it for his glory and honor?
Luke 10, 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he sent him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, Go and do likewise. Really famous parable of the Good Samaritan, which has a lot of points, I think, that we could draw out. But I wanted to kind of focus on the generous nature of this character's giving. He had compassion on this person who was unlike him, right? He came near, bandaged his wounds, and he gave generously and was willing to give more, whatever it took to care for this stranger. What can we learn about giving from this parable that Jesus told?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot there. Well, first of all, you know, the Samaritan was not loved, respected, liked by the Jewish community at the time. So there was that polarization. And Jesus, in his wisdom, just hit right on it. But what I notice is, okay, the motivation was compassion, love. He had compassion. He journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, verse 33, he had compassion. And what did that love cause him to do? It caused him to stop, not just notice, but caused him to stop. And then he went to him, says he bandaged his wounds, he poured on oil and wine. And so he got him to a place where he could get him to travel, set him on his own animal, and then he brought him to that inn. And then it says he just didn't dump him and leave him. It took care of him.
He paid the bill, right?
He paid the bill. And then he went out the next day. I don't know what 2 denarii would be today's, but it'd be like you being dropped off at the inn, and you take care of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think when we do that today, people would say, oh, you just got suckered by that person. You know what I mean? The Good Samaritan was a sucker because he just gave and asked nothing in return. What if that person was, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's not what's in the story, but that's
right.
That's how I relate it to, like, when you're giving to somebody who appears to need it. You know, you give somebody a ride, or you give somebody money for a hotel room. Oh, they're just going to go, So but what it is it's compassion.
Yeah, it is
and
compassion.
I think compassion in, like, because that's what happens. You feel for him. And you're like, man, Jesus loves that person. And there's some sort of supernatural love that's flowing through me for that person that I don't know, but who appears to be having a hard time. And you want to help. You want to give.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a lot of times people will say, oh, well, compassion. Like, compassion gets sort of a negative connotation in that in that sense.
Well, we shortchange. If God is speaking to us in the moment, we're talking to an individual's in need and they need a ride, and you say, well, I'm really busy, you know, or I'll pray for you.
I don't have time to give of
or,
my time.
I don't have to give my time, or I don't have time to do this. You know, in the past, you and I both have experienced people who've come, you know, to the church and have asked and in need, and then if we can, we try our very best. But there is that, like, yes, I want to help you. Let's examine more, you know.
Yeah, want to get taken in, right?
Get taken advantage of or ripped off or whatever. And at times when we have gone the extra mile and we have helped individuals, you know, it has, most of the time it turns out okay and good, but there's been occasions where it hasn't, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to do that again. Or I was in a place of danger. I didn't even realize it, you know, because I'm in the moment trying to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, showing compassion by giving my time and giving my resources in that moment.
It takes a vulnerability to remain compassionate.
There's a risk.
Because there is a risk. You give your money and they do something with it that's not what they said, or they're making up a story and whatever else. And I usually think that, man, the most Christ-like thing that we can do in those situations is to let compassion win over our skepticism.
Yeah,
even if that means getting taken in, because what I want to do is be Christ-like.
Yeah.
And if they're going to, that's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. And that's what I want to feed inside of myself, is that compassion.
Yep.
There's people who would disagree with that. And there's people who say, oh, well, you're just going to get suckered. You're just going to take advantage of.
Well,
and to me, I'm like, well, that's okay.
because
what I want to do is remain, you know, soft to the Holy Spirit.
I've given whatever it is, whether it's whatever gift I'm using, I've given this, I'm using this in the name of the Lord, for the Lord, as an offering to the Lord, first of all. Then I let go.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard for us to let go.
Mm.
We like to keep our hands on it. If someone's given a gift to the church, we come back 10 years later and say, well, you didn't spend it the way that I intended, or whatever. You know, and we need to let go and let God receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise as we use our gifts for Him. And in the area of generosity, you know, I know individuals today that I would say definitely have that gift of generosity. And in their own eyes, they probably think that they don't, but they do, because of over and over again, it's just their protocol. They're just so giving of their time and of their talent, but also their treasure.
You know, I think that's a pretty important thing that maybe we can close with when it comes to spiritual gifts, is that the more that you use it, the more comfortable you get operating in that gift. So we've talked about teaching and we've talked about prophecy and how, like, I don't know if I feel comfortable, but the more that you operate in that gift, the more you start to feel comfortable saying, I think God is saying this. The more you start to feel comfortable teaching and being like, I'm comfortable explaining this because I've done it a lot, right?
Yes.
And so it's partially experience, but it's just like you're using the gift and you get better at using it. And it's the same with this supernatural gift of giving. It's not necessarily the generosity that we are all called to, but this like special generosity that's like, no, the Lord is calling me to meet this need in this moment. It gets easier to do because you get more comfortable operating in it. Last time I gave, I thought I was going to not have enough money at the end of the day, and I had plenty, you know, like God provided. Like you start to teach yourself that this is how it works. You know, you get better at operating in the gift.
Yeah.
And you get better at like showing compassion. I know we need to have good discernment and we're not supposed to just, you know, throw our money around. Like all of that's real. But I also want to encourage people to grow in compassion. I think that's what the parable of the Good Samaritan, one of the things that the parable of the Good Samaritan is about loving your neighbor, showing compassion, you know, with your wallet, and with your time and with your reputation.
Yeah.
And will that mean that you get burned sometimes? It may be in this reality, sure. But there's a spiritual reality going on where your compassion is always rewarded, you know, and your giving and your generosity is bearing fruit that maybe you don't even see.
Well, we can definitely see it through the life of Jesus himself, how generous he was and is, and praise him for that. And if God moves in your heart to be generous, trust him, because he'll provide. We don't know what God will do tomorrow.
That's right.
And he may surprise you with his resources, his way, again, for his glory, which is awesome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The ZACPod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.